has blessed us. Grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Grateful to be a prisoner of God. We are bound by his love, and his constraints are not hard or harsh upon us. We're glad to have them. I'm grateful that the Lord has saved me, and he has kept me, and he's keeping me even still. I'm glad about that. I have a message. I believe it's from the Lord, but I need you to pray for me this morning because I don't want to get out of his will in any way. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be an encouragement to all that hear. And so I want you to be praying for us. Don't want to do anything without God. The message today is entitled, Any Righteous Cause. Any Righteous Cause. All right. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that what we do is authored and orchestrated by God. All right. We want the sister talked about how God was holding our hand. The song talked about hold to his unchanging hand, God's unchanging hand. And what we need is for the Lord to go before us. And when we do that, when we hold into his hand, when we follow him, then we know that the cause that we are involved in is right. All right. And so what ends up happening is God is going to back us. He's going to undergird us. He's going to lift us up. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to establish us and he's going to carry us all the way through. But what we need to know is that the cause that we are fighting for, we're fighting for the truth. We're fighting for the right. And we can't do it without salvation. We can't do it in and of our own self. We can't do it without him being in the lead position. May God help us this morning. And so we are to hold to his hand. We're to make sure that the cause is right. We're to make sure that it's God that's going before us. Then we can go with courage and we can go knowing that God is able and he's well able to keep us from falling. May God help us this morning. Lord's talking to us this morning. You be praying for us. It's a righteous cause that we want to have. And I want us to key in on a little bit of word. It's a small word, but it means a lot. The Lord talked to me and he said, any righteous cause. And so sometimes what we get involved in and what he has for us, it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. Doesn't seem like it's going anywhere fast. But if it's God that's doing it, then we know that we have his backing up. If it's God before us, then who can be against us? May the Lord help us this morning. Want us to go to Deuteronomy 31:6. Want to read a familiar text. But before we do that, I want you to read verse number 3, and then we'll read on down to verse number 6. That's Deuteronomy 31:3, and then skip down to verse number 6, please.
The Lord thy God will go over before thee.
All right, the Lord's going to go before you.
And he will destroy these nations from before thee.
All right, he's going to destroy
them. And thou shalt possess them.
All right.
And Joshua, he shall go over before thee.
All right.
As the Lord hath said.
All right.
Verse 6.
All right.
Be strong and of good courage.
Be strong and of good courage.
Don't be afraid of them.
Don't be afraid.
For the Lord thy God.
It's God.
Doth go with thee.
He's the one that goes before you.
Nor forsake
thee. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. Now, what kind of sense would it make if God come down and he say, Brother Henry or Brother whomever it might be, Sister whomever it might be, this is what I want you to do, but I'm not going to go with you, though. Not going to back you, not going to give you any strength, not going to bless you. You can go through every story in this Bible when somebody got a righteous cause from the Lord and God backed them every step of the way. He backed them every step of the way. He went before them. He strengthened them up. He helped them along the way. And so God is going to back his own word. He's going to back his move. And so you don't have to be afraid. Make sure that the cause that you are in is something that is righteous. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. all right? And they were to go forward, and they were to be what the Lord would have them to be. And so he said, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. It's God that has given you this instruction, so you don't have to worry about it. You can stand on the word of God. You already are. May God help us. He spoke this world into existence, and so you're standing on the word of God today. May God help us this morning. Be encouraged this morning. That's what this is about. Any righteous cause, God is going to back you up. He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. May the Lord help us this morning. We preached about before God having our back, and he does, but we have to make sure that the cause is right. And who establishes righteousness? Who establishes what is right and what is not right? Does that not come from God Almighty? All right. He is the great decider of what is right and what is not right. And we have to conform to, we have to align with what he said is right, what his cause is. May the Lord help us this morning. May the Lord stand by us and be with us in a very special way. We're going to look at some requirements of a righteous cause. And then we're going to look at some examples, compare and contrast. We're not going to have a whole lot of time this morning, but we want to get to what the Lord has us to get to, so be praying for us. Make sure that it's not just a good cause. Sometimes there are causes that are good causes, okay? The enemy is slick and sly. You got to watch him. He'll do you over if you're not careful. Get you involved in something that is almost good, almost right, almost what God would have you to be doing. You see? And you're not doing exactly what God wants you to do. And so therefore you're already in trouble and you don't even know it. But you feel good about it. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And so God, the enemy, he's slick. He'll get you in some type of deal where you think you're on your way to heaven because you're doing some good things, but it's something that maybe you came up with, or maybe something that the enemy came up with. And so make sure, I want to warn you this morning, that the enemy is slick and sly, and you got to watch him. Make sure that it's God that's in this deal. All right? May the Lord help us this morning. Also, and likewise, we need to be careful that it's orchestrated by God. It meets with God's approval. Is he in the lead? And may the Lord help us. God will help us to do what exactly we need to do. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they remember they had the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire. And so be looking for the pillar of smoke and be looking for the pillar of fire. God's indicators that this is him all along the way. Because we're human, sometimes we can miss it, and we need God to help us. All right, do we need God's backing? Do you think that we need God's backing? Everybody says, yes, absolutely, of course, without a doubt. And we do. And we do, but is that how we go about our business all the time? Huh? Let's be honest this morning. Let's be honest. May the Lord help us be honest with ourselves. What can happen is God can give us the righteous cause. Have you ever seen a parent say, son, come here, daughter, come here. I want you to go over here and do this and then come back. But before you do that, I've got some more instructions to give you. And so I want you to have those instructions as well. And if you're not clear, let's get it cleared up before you go. But what do? They pumped up and they hyped up because they want to do it, and they take off without the full instruction. Or sometimes we say, son, hold on. One time, I'm going to tell y'all something. Henry, don't get embarrassed, okay? One time, he's working on his driving. So we come to church, and we come early, and we had been doing it several times. And he did a good job. It ain't about that. But we got to the gate, and we opened the gate, and I saw the trash can like I sometimes do. It's on the other side. And so I said, Henry, get up. He don't like doing it. I said, Henry, get up, get in the driver's seat, adjust your seat, get ready to drive. But I didn't tell him take off. I know there's no brake on my side, but I didn't tell him to take off. He did a good job, took the car back, did what he's supposed to do and all of that. But my point is, sometimes what we need to make sure of is, Lord, are you with me on this deal? I need you with me on this deal. All right, and so may the Lord help us. We can take off without God, and we can and get ahead of God, and we can get ourselves into trouble. And we say, Lord, I thought you told me to do this deal. You told me to do it. And here I am, I'm doing it, and I'm meeting with all this difficulty. It doesn't seem to be going right. And he said, hold on, back up. I'm going to go with you. I've got to move some things out of the way. I've got to prepare some things for you before you can do it. God's that way. And so make sure you don't take off without him. May the Lord help us this morning. All right, so we need God's backing. The enemy is going to try to convince you that you can do things in and of yourself. Or he's going to try to get to your mind and cause you to believe that God doesn't have your back. He wants that really badly. And so he works on that all of the time. Ever since you were a little child, he's working on, he doesn't have to have you to fully believe that God isn't with you. He doesn't need that. What he needs is a question, and I want you to dial in on this, in your mind. You see, the question is where the damage is done. I think the Lord loves me, but I don't know. I think he's for me. I can tell that he's working with that one, and he's working with this one over here, but I'm not sure about me, though. Okay? One of the best ways that he does that is we get out and we take off without him, and then we meet with some things that knock us down and disappoint us and hurt us bad. And then he comes in and he reinforces that question in our mind. I want to encourage you to, if you haven't already, make sure that you are in the righteous cause. Lord, is this you? Is this your direction? I refuse to make one more step, Lord, without you. I've got to know that this is you. And then if it is you and I meet with difficulty, then what do I have? I have this assurance that God is going to bless me. He's going to help me. He's going to be with me every step of the way. But what can happen is we get to those places and we've been disappointed time and time again. And we say, well, forget that. I don't need his help. I don't need his help. I don't want his help. I don't need his help. It hasn't been good for me. You see? And what do you think the devil is doing then? I can show you better than I can tell you. That's what he's doing. He said, I'm really finna get a hold of this one. I'm finna do him bad. Because now I can do him bad as I want to. I can do her bad as I want to. And then they don't have no help because they've refused what God has to offer. I want to encourage you today, if you're in that position, I want to encourage you strongly. I want to promote Christ this morning. Go back to step number one and say, Lord, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to let you take the lead in my life. And I'm going to follow you even unto the end because what I've done, it hasn't worked out. And so there's got to be something better than this. May the Lord help us this morning. The enemy wants, this is in John 10 and 10. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the belief in your understanding that God is a good God, that he loves you, that he wants to help you. And then he'll commence to kill and destroy. Once he gets the mind, the rest is easy. I'll say that again. Once he gets the mind, the rest is easy. All right? And so be aware of that. May the Lord help us this morning. He's a liar, the father of him. We're not going to listen to him. We're going to go forward by the help of the Lord. Now, righteous cause, right? So are we going to be met with opposition even though it's a righteous cause? All right. If God gives us some instructions of what to do, do you think that the enemy is not going to show up? You think he's not going to show up and try to hinder that? It's a righteous cause. It's right. It's good. It's for the good of you. It's for the good of others. It's for the good of God's kingdom. It blesses God, and he's against that. All right? And so the enemy is going to show up. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in that place where you've gotten your instructions and you went about doing your instructions and it's getting difficult for you, if you know that you got the righteous cause, if you know that you got God on your side, I want to encourage you to continue, keep going. God has something special for you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. May the Lord help us. Enemy's going, so we know that if God shows up and gives us our instruction, the enemy's going to try to find a way to oppose us. We talked about it this morning, but there's a scripture that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This was in an account where Jesus was being killed by those that he loved and had come to save. He was being murdered, okay? And he had the mindset, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you understand? That's in Luke 4 and 23. Do you know that you can go about, set about doing the will of God and being a blessing and being a help, and somebody will oppose you, whether they, and listen in here, whether they know it or not, they are opposing you, whether they know it or not, they are causing harm. And if you were to give up or go back on the Lord, where would they get their help from? May the Lord help us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When I wasn't saved, I didn't understand. And so I would attack those that was trying to do right. I talk bad about them. I do those types of things. Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong, Lord. I was wrong. Those people loved me. Those people were trying to do me right. And I was sitting there harming my own self, trying to harm them. May the Lord have mercy. The enemy's going to oppose you, and most of the time, they don't really understand what they're doing. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. You missed a good one this morning, if you weren't here. But sometimes, and we talked about this too, sometimes people are in league with the enemy of all souls, and they know that that's what they're doing. Now, they're still tricked. They're still, if they don't get it right before they leave here, they're going to take the ultimate loss. And that's the truth, because the pay is terrible. And he doesn't love you. But they've been tricked and bamboozled into believing that. And so even those people, Lord, help us to have a mindset of, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, don't let this hinder me from going forward and being all that you would have me to be. May the Lord help us and have mercy upon us this morning. It's a horrible idea to be on the enemy's side. The pay is terrible. And even living for him, even down here, is a disappointment. And so I encourage you not to go in that direction. Righteous is defined as morally upright. It's virtuous. It's acting according to divine law. Most importantly, it is defined by God. God is the one that chooses what is righteous and what is unrighteous. We need to conform to his righteousness and to his cause. A cause is a person or thing that gives rise to action. It's a principle, aim, or movement that because of deep commitment, we are prepared to defend or advocate. All right? So a righteous cause, you're marrying those two words together. It is right. It is defined by God. And it is a worthy cause that we're ready to defend with our very lives if we have to. May the Lord help us. And so, again, God wants us to know what a righteous cause is, so that we're not lost and fumbling around and being discouraged and harmed and hurt. May the Lord help us this morning. God has a righteous cause for all mankind. Every last one of them. It starts with salvation. Okay? I alluded to that before. For God so loved the world, help me out here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The first cause of righteousness is salvation from sin. All right? You cannot move forward and be a blessing and be a help in the kingdom of God without salvation. And God gave you his intentions in those two verses. He sent his son. He showed his love. His son willingly came. He completed the work. And so now we have the access to salvation, to deliverance, and so we can get ourselves right. And then in the verse number 17, sometimes the enemy will try to convince us it's all about condemnation. It's not. He's not about condemnation. What he is about, giving us a solution for the problems that we have so that we can move forward and be a blessing in his kingdom. All right. And so if you're not saved, you need salvation. You can't move past that until you got salvation. You can be doing some good things, but you're not helping in the kingdom and in this righteous cause that God has for you. You can't truly be what God would have you to be without salvation. All right, and so we start there. We start there. Hebrews 12 and 1. The second thing we want to do, and I'm going to give you two examples on how to start in your righteous cause, and then we'll talk about some other things, some examples of how God backed those that he instructed to do what he instructed them to do. All right, it says in Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So there's people that have already experienced God's righteous cause, and they're experiencing his blessings. All right, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, and so we start with salvation, and then we begin to, I'm telling you how to get to your righteous cause. Start with salvation. Next, get rid of anything that would hinder you. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. Notice that the weight and the sin are separated. A weight can be something that is legal and lawful, that is spiritually correct, but it can hinder us. A good term for a weight, an easy way to think of a weight, is the cares of this life. What do the cares of this life do when the word was implanted in the heart? They choke the word. All right. I always care for my loved ones. I always care for, you know, that's part of loving God. And that thing can be a weight to the point where it weighs us down and hinders us from moving forward in our righteous cause. All right. So lay aside every weight and sin. The Bible teaches us casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So if you have cares that is hindering you in your righteous cause, you need to continually, until you get to a place where you are able to gain traction and move forward in his cause for your life, you need to go back to the Lord over and over and over again, however many times it takes, and lay them burdens at his feet. When you die, there'll be burdens on your heart and on your mind. God's going to take care of them burdens. The same God that took care of you, and maybe your parents have gone on, or your grandparents have gone on, is going to be the same God that's going to take care of your wife, your husband, and your children. And so we are not to be waylaid by these things. Lay aside that weight and lay aside that sin. Sometimes in our lives we have ways about us and things about us that are not right. We don't know that when we get saved. We know that we know about the sin that is obvious and that we understand, but sometimes there are things that we do that God is not holding us accountable for, but he's going to deal with us on those things. Yes. Y'all want me to say it again, or y'all got it? People don't talk about it, but this is true. There are things in my Christian experience that God said, you can't do that. That is not what Christians do. Yeah. You can't do that. I'm sorry. And so when it comes to that place, I'm going to ask you, Brother Taft, you probably know the answer to this. I'm not sure. When God deals with your hearts, what do? Respond. You just respond. You don't try to make no excuses for it. You don't try to do a big deal about it. Well, I thought I was saved. Listen, we are striving for perfection. We are striving to enter in at the straight gate. But we're not there yet. And so if this is something that God is putting his hand on and he's saying, this is not right, then now that you're aware of it, you say, Lord, I'm going to lay that at the altar also. Because I can't run this Christian race. I can't even get to my righteous cause with this thing hindering me. May the Lord help us. And so that's the second thing. Salvation. Then lay aside every weight and every sin that would so easily beset us. Any man would come after me. This is Matthew 16 and 24. What we got to do? Any man would come after me? What? Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. All right, and so that's the third thing. You're going to hear about self-denial from us because it's very hard to do the will of God and not deny yourself also. You can't do both at the same time. You just can't do it. It's impossible. And so you're going to hear about it from because the Lord deals with us about it. And it's something that we have to do daily. I wish it wasn't. I wish we could just do it once and for all and we just go on. And it's going to be like that, but it's only going to be like that when we leave here. All right? No more self to deal with when we leave here. That's the goal. So may the Lord help us this morning. That's the third thing. Deny ourselves. We got to take up our cross and follow him. And then we got the yoke. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We got to learn of him. That's the other thing that we need to do. All right. Another way to get to your righteous cause is I want you to go with me to Revelations 3 and 20. Anybody know that verse by heart? You can go ahead and say it. Behold.
I stand at the door and knock.
Stand at the door and knock.
If any man hear my voice.
Any man hear my voice.
Open the door.
Open the door.
I will come in to him.
I'll come in.
And will sup with him.
I'll sup with him.
And he with me.
And he with me. All right. And so the first thing we do, we're trying to get to our righteous cause. This is another way to look at it. First, answer the call. All right. He's standing at the door of our hearts and he's knocking. Get up, go over to the door, open the door, welcome him in, shut the door behind you so that he doesn't leave out. Amen. We need God with us. Once he's in, we don't want him leaving. But sometimes we leave that, listen, y'all not listening to me this morning. Sometimes we leave that door open, don't we? I'm saved. I'm saved, but I'm looking back though. Oh, okay, y'all didn't know I was going to go there, did you? I'm looking back. I'm saved, but the world is looking, you know, some of those things that's out there, they don't look too bad. I don't see what's wrong with that. Close the door. Then will you know if you follow on to know. Some stuff you're not going to know automatically. You're just not going to know it. But you will know if you follow on to know. What you do know is you know that your sin can't enter there. And you know that sin and God is not going to dwell in the same dwelling place. And so, Lord, come on in. Let's close this door. And if it's something that needs to leave, it's not going to be you, Lord. I'll get rid of what is going to hinder me from being pleasing and honoring unto you. You see? May the Lord help us. This is the only way you and I could make it in. It's the only way. Get up, open the door, let him come in, close the door behind you. Now, if there's something that needs to go out, he'll open the door, throw it out, and close it again. He'll keep going. Yes. Keep him at the door of your heart. Yes. You see, the Lord will help you to stay pure. Yes. He'll help you to do right. Yes. Another thing we need to do is we need to love him and we need to obey him. I want to say, go to John 14 and 15. I'm going to say something here. You may not have heard it. Maybe you have. But if you haven't, I want you to hear it now. If you have, I want you to remember it and hold on to it. Loving God and obeying him are inseparable. You can't say you love him if you won't obey him. Lord, help us.
Lord, help us. See, what we want to do sometimes is we want to talk about how much we love the Lord. I love the Lord. And then the next thing we say is he's good to me. Well, if you love him so much and he's so good to you, then why don't you obey him then? May the Lord help us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better. God wants us to love him to the point where when he tells us to do something, that we do it. And if we have issue with it, we say, Lord, help me. Listen, you know what I tell the Lord? Y'all gonna laugh at me. But I tell him because it's true. Lord, because I've learned this. Lord, I'm weaker than weak. I can't do it without you, Lord. I just can't do it. I'm no good at it, Lord. And you helped me the last time, but I'm here again, and I need your help again. That's what I've learned. I want to do it, Lord. I want to do it, Lord, but I don't even want to do it just yet. Will you help me to want to do it? It's God that worketh in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Lord, help me to want to do it. And then, Lord, help me to do it with a good attitude and put that on repeat. May the Lord help us. Help us, Lord. I'm not any good at Christianity without God. Does that make sense to you this morning? I'm not any good at it. I have to have God in me all the time. That's why we pray at night. That's why we pray in the morning. That's why we pray all throughout the day. Stay with me, Lord. I need you, Lord. They're coming at me, Lord. And I got to show Christ. I want you in me. I can't show you what I don't have. I can't show Christ if I don't have him. So accept the fact that without God, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. May the Lord help us. Love him and obey him. Open the door, let him in. And whatever you got to do to keep him there, do that by the help of the Lord. What does it say? If ye love me, do what?
My commandments.
Does it say, do my commandments?
No.
Whenever you get ready to?
No.
Do it when you feel like it.
No.
If you're tired, you ain't got to do it. Do it when you get some strength. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Do you know that the same devil you fighting, I'm fighting too?
Yes.
Do you know that if I don't strive to enter in at the straight gate, I will be lost? Do you know that I don't have yesterday's credit? Did you know that?
That's right.
I got to have a 2-day salvation.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. May the Lord stand by and be with us this morning. Ah, I'm trying to get to all this. Y'all pray for me. So answer the call. Love him and obey him by his grace and help. And then stay humble. The Bible says, he that exalted himself shall what? What does that mean? To be abased. To be brought low. Not just brought down. It says to be brought low. So what can happen is I get to feeling good because the Lord has blessed me. Maybe the Lord has used me in some type of awesome way or whatever place may be. Whatever that means to you. And what happens is the enemy starts coming in. And self, he wants to work with the enemy. And we get to thinking, you know what? I'm pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty good what just happened. That's what we do. That's what we do. I mean, we don't say that, but it's subconscious. It's what we do. And he knows that human beings have too much ego. He knows that. And so he tries to work with us in that way. We've got to remember that it's God that did it. If I did it, then God did it through me. If he didn't do it through me, then it wasn't good, no way. But if he did do it and it was good, then he did it. So where does the credit belong? To me and him or just him? It belongs to him. Sometimes we try to share and a little, Lord, I appreciate you. helping me out. Let me get a little bit of credit, though, just a tiny. Don't need much, but just a little bit of credit will do. Huh? Is that okay? We literally can't take the next breath. Literally. Without God. And so, God, help me to remember that and give you praise. And so that's the fourth thing. Open your heart. Let him in. Kick anything out that would prevent him from staying. Close the door behind. Secondarily, love him to the point where you obey him. If you struggle with that, ask him to help you with that. You are not the first person that has struggled with obeying God. Thomas's name, Brother Thomas's name was what? That's his name. That's what they called him. Doubting Thomas. You think doubt would hinder you from doing the work of the Lord? God didn't throw him away, did he? Jesus didn't throw him away. He worked with him and got him to where he needed to be. Do you know that God will work with you? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been through. God has a formula and a righteous cause for you. He will work with you and bless you, but you have to give him an opportunity. He's standing at the door and knocking. You come down. You give your heart to him. You will be amazed at what God can do. Let alone everybody else, you'll be amazed. You'll be like, Lord, I didn't know you could do that. God is good. So let him in. Love him and obey him. Give God the credit so that you can stay humble. And then keep moving forward. Put that on repeat by the grace and help of God. I don't have the time to go to the two examples, but I'm going to just talk briefly about them, and then I'm going to sit down. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. We want to talk about Brother David. We want to talk about Brother Saul. I'm going to start with David. And this, you need to, I don't know. Let me encourage you. You study. You look at the word. When the minister or somebody giving something and it's talking to your heart, God's dealing with you, write it down where it's found and you look at it on your own time. All right. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, that's what we're going to be talking about. In 16, it talks about verse number 6 and 7, it talks about they were going through a choosing process of the successor to King Saul, the person that was going to come after King Saul. And they brought all these different ones before the prophet. And the prophet said, no, that ain't the one. No, that ain't the one. No, that ain't the one. When they got to David, they finally got to David. David's a little guy. Didn't look like he can do much. But he had the heart that he needed to have. David was called the man after God's own heart. And so it starts with our heart. All right. Give your heart to the Lord. See what the Lord can do with you. And so it says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. So he was chosen. Now, King Saul, he had been chosen too, had he not? God chose Saul. Did y'all know that? He chose Saul. But somewhere along the way, Saul's heart got divided. He began to want some of the credit. He was mad. Remember, they start talking about the feats that David was doing, and Saul, he didn't like that. He started hating on Saul to the point where, now listen, David was Jonathan's best friend, and this is Saul's son. He was chasing him around trying to kill him. He had lost his love for God. He had forgot who was, what the cause was. He forgot about the righteousness of it all. You see, he had lost what he needed to do. But David stuck with the Lord, didn't he? And you can find out about Saul on down in chapter 15 of the same book, 1 Samuel chapter 15. You can read about him. I want you to read, if you haven't, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. You get an opportunity, you get a chance. Write it down. And so anyway, David moved forward, and I want to talk about this. This is important. He started with the love, and God chose him. We start with the love God chooses us. Now, there's going to be a qualifying process. You're going to go through some things along the way. Just like when God chose Joseph for greatness, he's choosing you for greatness. I'm telling you that right now. I can say that with confidence because God has that for all of us. Now, it might look different for different people, but God has something great for you to do in his kingdom. He really does. All right? And so you start with the love and you start with the obedience. You start with giving your heart to the Lord, as David did. So David, he went forward and he did what God told him to do. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, you don't get to fast forward. Sometimes we want to hit the fast forward button. We want to press that skip button. Oh, yeah, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, an hour, a day, 2 days. Let me get past all this bad stuff and get to the good part. What's the Bible say? In your patience, possess ye your soul. He still has greatness for you, but you have to go through the lion. Remember David went through the lion, went through the bear, has some similarities with Joseph because his brothers was haters too. And we fast forward and we get to the point where there is an enemy that is great and mighty looking, very causing fear and terror. And God gave him a righteous cause. David was still a little guy. He wasn't very strong. He wasn't very skillful in terms of in comparison. He couldn't put Goliath in a headlock and choke him down. That wasn't going to happen. He couldn't box with him. You understand? But God saw David's heart. He saw his obedience. He saw that he went through the tests and the trials with victory. And so he chose David for this righteous cause. David stuck with what he always knew, and I want to encourage you, God told me this. Saul tried to give him, and I wonder if Saul was trying to set him up for failure. Y'all ever thought about that? Take this humongous sword and heavy armor and then try to run away from Goliath. I don't know. But David said, no, that ain't what got me here. It's not proven. This is not what I do when I'm out tending the sheep. I'm practicing with this sling, and I'm doing target practice. So if some intruders try to come, I'm gonna smack that intruder with this. It's basically a gun. That's what it is. It's a projectile. And so I want to encourage you, stick with what got you there. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been reading your Bible, you've been devoting yourself to God. Stick with that. You already got the calling, you're already obedient, you're already doing what, you're in the direction that God wants you in. Stick with, don't, see the enemy will come with something new. Don't go for it. You can try to take those weapons into battle and you're going to be sorely disappointed. May the Lord help us. Amen. And we know the ending of the story. Ultimately, David knew that his power. Matter of fact, David did something that I want to encourage you to do. Lord, help me to do it. Began to praise God. Began to magnify and extol his righteous and holy name before you get into the battle. David was telling Goliath and was telling the people that was in the army that was scared of Goliath about how great God was and what God could do. All right? And so his humility was already in place. And so when Goliath started talking crazy to him about he was a dog and he was going to do him bad and ball him up and spit him out, he said, no, 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 you're confused. You don't know the God that I know. David didn't know how the battle was going to go. God didn't say, you're going to take this sling and knock this giant in the forehead. He's going to fall down. You're going to cut his head off. He didn't tell him that. He just knew that faith and obedience and love, he knew that God had given him a righteous cause. And so therefore, he knew God was going to back him. And I want to encourage you this morning. Find your righteous cause.
and follow after that cause. Don't let anything deter you. David, of course, was ultimately victorious over this humongous giant that had, he had a whole army shook. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Now, I've never seen Goliath, but I do know what a whole bunch of people can do with weapons. Why don't we jump this guy? I'm just saying. What did they think they was doing? They was going to war. They had the warrior gear on. They had been trained as soldiers. What are we going to do? We going to do something? May the Lord help us. I'm not saying that in your righteous cause, you're not going to come up with some fearful things, some things that give you pause, some obstacles and some difficulties along the way. What I'm saying to you is if you have made sure that this is a righteous cause, then you have this assurance that you can go with. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And you don't have to be afraid. God's going to take care of you. May the Lord help and bless each and every one of us. Again, my goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I'm going to get there one day at a time. If I'll make it through today, we'll worry about tomorrow. But all I have to do is make sure that I'm in the will of God on a daily basis. When he deals with my heart, I respond properly. And when the Lord gives victory, I give him the credit. I don't try to take any for myself. If I'll put that on repeat, I'll make heaven my home. I appreciate your time and attention, your prayers for me. I want to make heaven my home. I want you to do so too. So you be praying for me. I will be praying for you.